open up to Luke 16, and you know, we are so blessed to have sat under the teaching ministries, really, of Jim Martin and Bronk and L.A., but and I'll include myself, but we're all standing on the shoulders of Dave Roberson, and he's standing on the shoulders of those that you know, come before him. But we're blessed to have the revelation knowledge that we know and just take for granted. And recently, I got to meet some brethren from Brazil, and they're just wonderful people. You'd love them. Two of them kind of spoke English, so they had to translate for everybody else, you know. And then after they got back to Brazil, we had shared email addresses. And this young man asked me a really good question. It had been so long. I have known the answer to this for so long that we take it for granted. And what we don't realize is people in other countries or even here that have not had access to the same teaching, they don't know. But I remember when I didn't know. And it's about the unjust steward here. And I think I will read it here in a moment. We've got time. The question was about, the email was, I was reading about this unjust steward. He seems like a crook. And he was, wasn't he? And he says, but the Lord bragged on him. I do not understand why the Lord would commend the unjust steward. And I remember when I didn't know. And the verse after, it's even worse. You know, the verse 9, and I say to you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, first off, I was a faith man in those days, bless God, we're not about to fail. Didn't know what that meant either. They may receive you into everlasting habitations. And I'm, you know, my heart just went out to him, because it had been 20 years since I have not known the answer to that, see. But let's look at it. Now, and if you don't know the answer, just act like you do. You will in a minute, okay? We're going to go through it real quick. But this has everything to do with offerings. It has everything to do with every decision you're going to make, really. If you can get the truth out of this, much of your financial problems in life are over. So pay attention. All right, here we go. Luke 16:1, and he said also, oh, let me say one other thing. Every parable in Luke 15, 16, and 17, they're actually directed toward rescuing, if possible, the Pharisees, whose heart was not towards the lost. To them, religion was a way to make a living. I'm not saying they didn't honor God at all. I don't know their hearts. But they sure did not have a heart for the lost. And they did not understand living like your life was all about seeking and saving the lost. So all of these are directed toward the Pharisees in different reasons towards that same end. Okay. So he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and he said unto him, how is this that I hear of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. So this guy's getting fired. He got caught. He's been having his hand in the till. Got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. And he's fired. Okay. So then the steward said within himself, well, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship, and I cannot dig. I take that to mean he might have been kind of a frail person for some reason. And to beg, I am ashamed. I would be too. He says, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship. Boy, now, here I go again. If you underline. When I am put out of the stewardship. That's going to be important in a minute. They may receive me into their houses. Now, from his point of view, he's going, I found out something. I've been fired. I'm going to be put out of my cushy job here. I better do something. Because I'm not a strong person to go make a living digging ditches. And I'm ashamed to beg. What am I going to do? Ah, and he concocts a devious scheme. He's a crook. The guy in Brazil was right. And look what he does here now. So he says, verse 4 again, I'm resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. So he's reducing the debt, isn't he? Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. So he's just, while he still has authority, he is literally and unjustly reducing the debts of these men. All right? But he has to do it while he's still steward. Okay. So the Lord commended. Here it is. The Lord commended. He bragged on the guy. He said, well, this guy, he's doing wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. When you fail, what that's really talking about, one day your life is going to come to an end. It's not talking about failure like a business failure. This guy, he got notice ahead of time, your stewardship is coming to an end. So what he did with the remainder of his short stewardship, he acted with the knowledge, my stewardship is coming to an end. What I do now is going to have an impact on all the rest of my life. We only get to be his steward while we're here on planet Earth. When he says, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, most of you know that a little guy named Michael Muccio, who drove the ugliest Opel car I ever saw in my life, little guy with a shiny bottom suit and holes in both shoes, he's the one that brought the gospel to my house. When we get to heaven, I don't know who it was that handed Michael a $10 bill that he put the gasoline in an ugly Opel car. Whoever, I'm going to look, I know there's records in heaven. I'm going to find out who it was that bought that tank of gas, that brought the gospel to my house. That guy, I don't know who he is yet, but he made a friend for eternity in me. Like Dave says, I'm going to be hiding behind a pillar. I want to see that guy walking by. As I see him, I'm going to jump out from behind that pillar. In heaven, my lips shall resemble a bathroom plunger. You ever remember hearing Dave say that? I'm going to plant a big smooch on that guy's cheek. Mwah! Thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you. You don't know it, but that $10 you gave him, it got my house saved, and it put us into ministry, and it's affected the lives of people around the world. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. The only opportunity, the only time we get to do that is now. Let's go on just a little more. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Oh, verse 12. And if you have not been faithful, now notice, in that which is another man's, look up at me. I pray the day comes when you realize what you have is not yours. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Your life is not your own. If he doesn't have your money, he doesn't have you. But if he has you, he's got your money. Amen? Be faithful in that which is least, is what he's saying. Be faithful in that which is another man's. Then he can give you that which is your own. No servant can serve two masters. Here we are again. You're either a slave to Jesus and that money belongs to him, or you're a slave to your money. It's one or the other. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, note, I told you it's directed towards the Pharisees. Look at this. And the Pharisees also, notice, boy, if you underline, who were covetous. That word covetous means lovers of silver. That's what they loved. They heard, they knew he was talking about them. And when it says they derided him, it means they interrupted his teaching from the floor. If you can imagine, they stood up and they're going, "Who do you think you are? We are the Pharisees. We're the educated. We've been taught. You're some hillbilly from Nazareth." They derided him. Derision from the floor. And he said unto them, "You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Their love of money was not hidden from God. They might be hiding it from the people, but God was looking on the heart. "And the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. And it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail." Now notice this, Dave, when he'd get to this verse, he'd say, "Poor Jesus." Couldn't stay on the same subject for more than two or three verses. Here he's been teaching on stewardship and finances, and then all of a sudden, "Whosoever putteth away his wife," he just gets right over into adultery and marriage, you know. "Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband commits adultery." Poor Jesus. No, it's perfect in the light of what he's teaching. You know what he's telling them? "You guys are supposed to be married to God through the law, but you left your husband a long time ago, and you've been shacking up with money a long time. And you're committing adultery with a false god named Mammon." Let it never be so in our church. Let it never be so in our heart. Now say it with me. This is a good prayer. Say, "Father, if there is any residue of the love of money, Father, I am your temple. Make a fresh whip. Overturn the tables of the money changers. If there's any love of money in me, I pray you drive it out. Because, Lord, I want you in this temple, where the lame can be healed, the blind can see. Drive the money changers out. I love only you. And all that I have belongs to you." Belongs to you. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let the ushers come on up. When we give, there's only two ways that I know of in the New Testament. One is to every man purpose in his own heart what he'd like to give. And the other is to listen. Sometimes the Lord has a specific amount he wants you to give. And either way, let's just take a moment and be quiet. I'll quit talking, actually. Just get quiet. Just see if he says an amount to you. See if he says something. "Father, this is the time. Now, if you heard an amount, or if just a number came to you, I would suggest you give that. If you have it to give. Now, if it's a number, he never has you go into debt to give, okay? But if you're able and you heard an amount, that's what I would give. But if you didn't, then the other way is let every man purpose in his own heart what he'd like to give. Amen?